Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're having us a week here. We must be playing an AFC championship game against Kansas City Chiefs this week because all the people are coming home. We've had just a beautiful week of visits with lots and lots of folks. Brian Billick and Marvin Lewis, Joe Flacco stopped by. I haven't had this guy on. He always comes by Radio Row at the Super Bowl. We're not going to be doing Radio Row this year. We're going to be doing Crab Cake Row right here in Baltimore for the Maryland Food Bank. We're doing five consecutive days of live broadcast from 9 until 5. We start things on Monday at Fadley's. Tuesday, we're going to be at Costas. Wednesday at Coco's. Thursday, I'm wearing my State Fair shirt over at Catonsville. Then Friday at Pappas. I'm going to have Raven scratch-offs. I'm going to have Holiday scratch-offs, 2024 scratch-offs, and we're going to basically have a cup of soup or bowl for the Maryland Food Banks. You come by, you get a free cup, free bowl of soup, Maryland crab, cream of crab, and do something nice for our friends at the Maryland Food Bank. This guy here did something nice for all of us here in Baltimore. He was a part of the Super Bowl 35 champions. I don't get to have him on as often as I would like. He's always an advocate for mental health and awareness and all the things that go on post-football life. Jamal Lewis, look how good you look, dude. Are you like Flacco? You making a comeback? What's going on, man?
Oh, yeah, right. I'm not doing that. He's a better man than I am. I'm good, man. I'm good. Everything's good. I was at the game this weekend. Just happy for the Baltimore Ravens family and everybody there, and just really rooting the boys on and hoping they can finish it on out.
You know, I didn't even think about that. You're an original guy, put a Brown helmet on, right? After you were a Raven, like you're one of the guys that did what he did. We don't think much about that. The Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, the whole triangle of that, but you played in both franchises like he did, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I played in both. And, you know, I must say that was my retirement home. I can tell you that.
All right. So you come back here and you're the former Raven. It's been 23 years. By the way, if they win this Sunday, it's the 23rd anniversary, January 28th. I don't need to tell you what day it was. You remember it as well. And you come back and see this new thing, younger people. Some of the people weren't 23 years old that were at the game. Ticket prices were a little depressed, really cold out, but the fans, we've really passed the torch to a new group of fans. I think you saw that this week.
Oh yeah, it's a whole different group, man. I think that's all around the league as well. But at the same time, with the Ravens, just seeing how things have really evolved, you know, just with the game as a whole, period. But just in that city, man, it's just you know, you still have that great group of fans that we had at our time, but now you got a younger group. They're more energetic and they get that crowd going and, you know, they start drinking early and, you know, it's just a great atmosphere.
See, I'd say all that, but I'm a get off my lawn guy and I'm an OG and, you know, Tampa 2001, the whole deal. Can you express to someone, a child, anyone under the age of 18 that never saw Ray Lewis dance, because he's going to do his little thing this week. You go make him the player and they should and do it and he'll dance and it'll be good. But to see Ray dance when he was in his prime, like, you know, like Saturday Night Fever, that what happened for you to be out of that tunnel? Because all of you talk about it, but not just you, the visiting teams that only saw it once or came in as a visiting player, you got to experience it a whole bunch of times. But I tell people it was never really the same in the stadium after Ray stopped dancing. Like literally, we stopped winning to some degree and like what all the things that have happened, but the atmosphere's never been the same because Ray dancing was, there was, you didn't go to any other stadium in the league and have that happen. Didn't happen anywhere.
No, it didn't happen anywhere else. It was one of those things that was really unique. And luckily, you know, the organization, you know, they got behind it as well because they knew that it was a staple and he was going to do it. And that was his way of winning the crowd. And that was one of Ray's big thing was winning the crowd. You know, when I first came in, you know, that's what he told me. He said, hey, man, you got to win the crowd. And that was the way that he did it, you know, along with his play on the field and the leader that he is. But, you know, I remember being, you know, on the field running through the tunnel, and I couldn't wait for the defense to be, you know, we wanted the defense to be announced, you know, because we knew what it did to the opposing teams as they were on the sideline. They were more anticipating seeing it. And we were just like, yeah, y'all go ahead and feed on into it. And of course they would. And, but it got the crowd going. And like I said, that's a staple here in Baltimore. And, you know, Ray's a great, great, great player, great leader And I think it'll be great. And I hope they do that this weekend. I'm sure they are, because he's going to get the crowd going. Can't wait to see it.
Has it changed your life to have won that game as opposed to not winning it 23 years ago? You know, you talk about one day, one chance, like a Kentucky Derby horse. You know, you get one chance to run the course. You know, well, we won. You know, got a ring, the whole deal. But for you to remember, what do you remember about that time? I mean, God, you were young, right? I mean, that's probably the one thing is you're like, hey, I'll do this three more times. No, you won't.
Oh,
you
yeah. Won't. Yeah, I thought that too. But I was 21 years old at the time, and honestly, it was just a great feeling. And I can remember walking off the field after a practice one day in the stadium. And it was the day before the game, like walkthrough type deal. And I remember walking, you know, out of the stadium, going back to the locker room. And I just had this feeling. And I just said, you know what? We have to win this game. We can't leave as a loser, because if you lose, it don't matter. And, you know, we had a great season. A lot happened that season. A lot of our relationships was built. I think a lot of people's careers was built, you know, that season as well on that team. A lot of coaches really thrived after that game as well, still today. So, you know, it was just one of those things where, you know, coach always said, hey, you win this game, and you win the Super Bowl, everybody's life changed. And I think for me, it did. And, you know, everywhere I go in Baltimore, they call me champ, you know. So it's one of those things where if we would have lost, they wouldn't have been calling me champ.
Jamal Lewis is always a champ to us. We love having him on. Usually a radio row got my mental health and other things. And, you know, we're so far removed from this thing now with, and I, you know, I'll talk about Lamar with you, and we'll get into that. And certainly T. Martin and some other things where you have some commonality. But the one commonality you and I have is all these years ago, the day you got drafted, you come onto this team. And, you know, I was here when they were wearing the purple Barney uniforms, and Ted was here, and they weren't very good. And Jim Harbaugh was the quarterback, right? Like, so then Brian comes, and there was this thing where, like, Goose was already here. Burnett kind of came into it. They recruited Sam defensively, but Marvin recruiting Rod Woodson, and then Shannon Sharp being recruited into the offense, that you had these two bona fide Hall of Famers who are, you know, but Rod hadn't won yet, and Shannon had won. And seeing what that would do for a 21-year-old guy, for not just for Ray to see it on the defensive side, but for you to see it in the offensive side. I was kidding Brandon Stokely here this week about all the little pills, Kim Herring too, about all the little supplements Shannon would have, and he would measure every carrot stick, every celery
right.
stick would be. I mean, just seeing discipline and seeing guys who are going to go to the Hall of F and Fame come in and say, I want to be in Baltimore, in that rickety little room you had out here that wasn't even half as nice as what you had in Tennessee when you were in college. But bringing it together, now they make movies about you guys. I mean, that defense specifically, but your team in general, I mean, it's a team full of celebrities and superstars. God rest Goose's soul, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And coming in, it was just a different dynamic. And I think that was the plan that Ozzy, Phil Savage, you know, Billick and that crew, you know, that they really put together. That team was very unique. Starting out, you really didn't know it. But at the same time, when you came in, it was just that perfect sprinkle of experience. You had some older guys that were the Shannon Sharps, the Rod Woodsons. And you think about it, you know, even Ray was young at that time. So therefore, you had some equalizers there that could come in and actually, you know, I think that was a dynamic they wanted to really put together. You know, somebody that can come in and really train up Ray as well to be the player that he ended up becoming. And I think being around guys like Rod, Siragusa, you know, Shannon Sharp, you know, these guys that Rod Burnett, you know, it was just a great group of guys that were sprinkled around that team that really just made up the dynamic that we had that year and the one that they make movies about now. And, you know, we still have, you know, our Hall of Famers like, Ed Reed now, but, you know, Ray and Shannon and all these guys, you know, it was just a
forgot great. Forgot John Ogden. Let's not forget John.
Oh, John Ogden. Hey, that's my guy. right? So, you know, it's these guys that you had that you could always lean on. You know, I could go talk to a Rod Woodson and say, hey man, you know, this is how I'm feeling about this or that, or how do you handle this or handle that? And you know, Shannon, I worked out with Shannon when I was in college. You know, every year when I came home for the off season, I worked out with Shannon. So it was crazy, you know, me being drafted to a team that he had just got pulled into as well. And you know, I just knew his work ethic, and everybody kind of corralled around those guys, you know. So we had a bunch of lead horses that was out in front of us that was really pulling the rest of that team, and everybody jumped on board and bought into the process.
Jamal Lewis is here. He ran the football for us back in Super Bowl 35. We are celebrating an AFC Championship game in Baltimore for the first time since 1971. My dad attended that game. My first Colts game was in 74. Luke is out in Owings Mills. If there's any breaking news, you'll get it on the WNST tech service. We're doing our crab cake row, doing all this cool stuff. Jamal, I lost a friend of mine, a gentleman named Harvey Myers, who ran a place called the Emerald Tavern. He put a satellite dish in my parents' house. And he and I went together in 1998. The Tennessee Titans were playing at Vanderbilt Stadium, 98, 99. And we went over to Knoxville. I went one time in my life. I've been to Knoxville twice. I went to a basketball game there too. Terps played a tournament game there, lost to St. John's. But I went there for one football game to Neyland, and I saw Tennessee play Georgia in the big place up top. It rained like hell. They had a running back named Jamal Lewis and a quarterback named T. Martin. Does that sound familiar to you at any point?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I hadn't heard T. Martin's name in a long, long time, and I remember him from that day. I remember writing about you and Purple Rain One, and you come in here and Phil Savage talking about your box drills and your injury and you fighting back from all of that and your strength. And T. Martin, all these years later, comes back up as a mentor to Lamar. And when you come back to Baltimore, you don't just come back to Baltimore and see old friends. You got other people that are that have been drafted into this from your childhood.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And T was at Tennessee when I got there. He was kind of my mentor, my big brother, when I showed up on campus. So me and T spent a lot of time together, driving back and forth to Atlanta and catching rides and hitching rides and this, that, and the other. And then all of a sudden he got his shot after Peyton, you know, had left and went on to the draft and went to the Colts. And all of a sudden, you know, we go 13-0 and win a championship in college. And he was just a great leader, a great player. And it didn't surprise me that later on I went to go see a high school game, and he was the offensive coordinator over at North Atlanta High School. And I went to see him throw the ball around the field. And after that, he went on, I think, to New Mexico State. And then he went to Kentucky and went somewhere else. And kind of, he
That's a
just
real
went through
coach's
this.
life, right? It's a vagabond life, right?
He went on this chain, and then all of a sudden, you know, after the whole Tennessee debacle and the hiring of the coaches and everything there, and he left there, and all of a sudden I was happy to see that they brought him into the Ravens. And I think that was a great fit. I kind of knew he would end up in that role, you know, with Lamar. I think they probably relate to a lot. They probably relate, you know, a lot, you know, just as far as, you know, just their upbringing and just being a black quarterback, you know, growing up, coming through everything that they've been through and where he is now. So I'm sure, you know, a lot of what Lamar's growth and everything that he's shown this year and last, I think a lot of that probably is a result of having a T. Martin there.
Jamal Lewis is here. He was there. He'll be here. Now you're going to Vegas. You expect them to win the Super Bowl? I mean, I should expect, but Mahomes, what San Francisco, Detroit, what they did to them earlier in the year. From a football standpoint, I know you watch the game differently. You see the game through those eyes that won a championship. What do you see when you see this team? Because it's unlike anything the league has ever seen because of what Lamar can do. And Lamar always says, not bad for a running back. And I always say, well, him running the ball is still their best play.
Right. Yeah. I think that what you have here is the same thing I just said about our team back in 2000. You have sprinkles everywhere around that team, you know, with Hamilton on the back end, Queen and Roquan at the linebacker position. You got a stout, defensive front. And then you go to the offensive side of the ball, the dynamic receivers that they have with Lamar. And even though we have a running back shortage, you bring in a Dalvin Cook. So it's one of those things where, we have all the right pieces in the right places on that team. So to say that, hey, look, it's expected for us to win. Yeah, I think it is expected. I think we are the best team in the NFL, and it's showing. But at the same time, it's I think it's ours to lose, just because of not just the guys on the field, but even when people have gotten hurt or people have went out of the game. Our bench is strong as well. So we have a well-built team, and I think it's built to go deep in the playoffs like we're showing right now. And I think we do stand a chance at winning it all.
Well, we all know J.K. Dobbins was supposed to be the running back. And then our guy, Anthony Mitchell, his boy, Keaton's running the ball. You mentioned Dalvin Cook. We talk about Justin Hill, the Gus Bus. One thing I find with running backs, and I don't have enough of you on, and I have more agents. I had Chad Weasley on, who lives here, who represents Josh Jacobs out in Vegas. Your running backs get ripped off, dude. I mean, they should talk to you about your value and your body and the abuse and like all that. How is it these running backs have gotten themselves into a point where they're not getting paid?
Man, I just think it's just the durability, man. It's the durability, and these offenses now are so dynamic. If you think about the wide receiver position, you have a lot of wide receivers, and they serve different purposes. And I think the same thing in the backfield. You don't have one back that serves all the purposes. You don't have that fourth and one, third and short guy, or that goal line guy, that can also go out, and line up in the slot position and go and work a linebacker and create that mismatch that you look for. So I think that's really the issue, because that guy, you don't have a guy that's going to be on the field, the entire game. Like when we played, you had a featured running back, and then you might have had a third down back or whatever, but at the same time, you had your guy. Now you don't have that guy, so I think that really devalues, because, you're not just paying one guy, you're paying three. So they spread that money around. And I think we are getting cheated, but you are a influential part of the game. And I think, the team that runs the ball the best will win the Super Bowl. And when you have a guy like Lamar, hell, that's a, he can throw the ball, he can run the ball. I say my worst threat of me losing my position at the top of rushing for the Ravens is Lamar Jackson. So
would have been less wear and tear on you, though, like to some degree.
Oh yeah,
right.
It's just I would have loved to play with the Lamar Jackson, because he's just another guy that they have to pay attention to, because he can take off and he can take it the distance. But whatever kind of opens up that box and frees it up, I think that's great for running backs. But he's dynamic, man, and he's really showing, and he's using all the tools that's in his toolbox.
Dude, every time you made it to the chains, we were up in section 513. Move those chains, move those chains, move those chains. And that was the thing that came from 33rd Street. Jamal Lewis is here. We usually do this Radio Row. I'm not going to be at Radio Row. We're going to be doing Crab Cake Row, a cup of Super Bowl on behalf of the Maryland Food Bank, featuring 100 charity stories. This is beginning the week of February 5th. Luke will be out in Las Vegas pending a Ravens victory this week. Jamal, if I get together with you out on the road, they'd be grabbing your handlers. Chris Visser be grabbing you, taking you over to Tampa and taking you to a different station. I got you here. How are you? How's your head? How's your life? How's your health? How's your family? Give everybody an update, because I've reached so many of you the last couple weeks. I've had so many of your teammates on. I had Mike Flynn last week. Rod's coming next week. I got Dwan Edwards on next week. I've had Stokely this week, Brian, Marvin, all sorts of people. And all of you sort of stay in touch sometimes in some way. But you were very outspoken a few years ago about, like, being concerned about how much abuse your body took. And I think anybody that's ever had a concussion in this sport, I had Brandon Stokely on just talking about it, I got to get checked. I mean, it's very, very important for the ones you love and for yourself to make sure you're staying sharp.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything is pretty much good with me. you know, you still deal with certain things, whatever, but you know how to cope, you know how to deal with it. I stay busy, just with my businesses and things that I have going on. The kids keep me busy as well, so that never runs short. So they keep me chauffeuring them around or whatever. But you know, I will be on Radio Row talking about depression and you know, just the state of being in depression and probably and what it's done, you know, with me and how I've coped with it as well. You know, after playing the sport and being done with a career that I've done all my life, and you know, being in front of the crowds, you know, every weekend or dealing with fans and everything else, you know, coming at you to now, you know, you don't really have that, and just kind of going through that, my story, and you know, after football and things that I've been through. So that's kind of the things that we'll be doing on Radio Row during Super Bowl or whatever. But all in all, I can't complain. I'm good and I'm healthy. I'm here, and you know, hey, what the Ravens are doing, hey, look, that keep a smile on your face and that keep you going.
Well, nothing will be better for you out on Radio Row than putting the purple back on and being a member of the Ravens who are in the game. Because I've been to those Super Bowls when we're in the game, and there's nothing quite like it. A lot of our fans trying to figure out a way to get out to Vegas, and they party with us down in New Orleans or down in Tampa with you. And it's created the greatest moments of my career and my life. We're celebrating 25 years of WNST, and we're doing this thing called Stories of Glory with Curio and Foreign Daughter. And, you know, the top couple are those moments at Whiskey Joe's in Tampa on January 28th, the New Orleans Super Bowl parade here with Joe Flacco and that team and Ray Lewis and what they did. They're incredible moments. And Jamal, we've never had an AFC Championship game in Baltimore, right? So this is
Right.
a moment for our city on our home turf. If you remember, the baseball owner was a creep, and we didn't even get to have the Thursday night hanging the flag when we won here with Flacco. They weren't doing that back in your era in the same way, where it was a kickoff game and you had a second parade, kind of sort of. But we have something here this week we've never had. I've been on the air 32 years. We've never had an AFC Championship game, and there's not going to be anything like it. And I hope you get back. I hope you have a good trip out to Vegas. I hope we're successful and come back for the parade or something like that, Jamal.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm game for it. You know, I'm excited. Hey, look, I'm always going to be a Raven and proud of what's going on in the city and proud of what the Baltimore Ravens are doing and looking forward to it.
Done a lot of things with you. I don't know if I have a crab cake with you, so maybe we got to put that on the agenda as part of the crab cake tour. Jamal Lewis, always with us, and always a Super Bowl 35 champion, and always here for on behalf of mental awareness and keeping your health together. Make sure everybody's feeling right about things. We should all be feeling good right now. It's AFC Championship week. Luke is
That's
out at
right.
Owings Mills. We've had the best guest we've ever had here this week. Joe Flacco has stopped by. Old friends Marvin Lewis, Brandon Stokely, everybody's stopping by to say hello and celebrating Festivus 3, we're all hoping here. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.